This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens up the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency may be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Peter Doolin, who is the Group Vice President and Chief Technologist for Oracle's public sector. Good morning, Peter. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for having me on the show today.
Well, we dragged you in the studio to have you talk about this new product that you've released called a Big Data Appliance. And Big Data is a hot topic in the federal government. And any kind of products or devices that can make my listeners' lives easier, that's what we want to talk about. And that's why we have you in the studio. But before we begin, there's people maybe are listening to your accent and they're going, well, where's that guy from? Maybe you can talk about your background and how you wound up with Oracle, please.
Thank you very much. Well, I'm originally from Ireland. I've been with Oracle for over 20 years. Prior to joining Oracle, I actually spent a short stint with the UK merchant banking industry in London. I joined Oracle in Oracle UK. I was very, very fortunate to join Oracle at an early point of its evolution, and it allowed me to work in a lot of different industries. So I've been working in the telecommunications industry, healthcare, manufacturing, and the financial services. Actually, I'm a relative newcomer to the government space here, having joined Oracle's public sector team only about 6 years ago. So I am kind of fortunate that I bring a different sort of lens to the federal IT space. And based upon that lens and my prior experience in big data intensive industries, it's very exciting to be working with Oracle in public sector.
Oh, I think it's a great background. Everyone loves a fresh perspective and get a different angle on what's going on. Beginning of the year here, everyone's making predictions. They got crystal balls out. The famous company Gartner says, well, it's going to be big here in 2012 is going to be social, it's going to be mobile, and it's going to be big data. And everyone has a different cut and slice big data different ways. And wanted to bring you in. I mean, when you think of big data, I think of big Oracle databases. I mean, when I think of big data for the last 20 years, I think Oracle's right in there with that crowd. Other companies as well, but Oracle's right in there, especially with databases. And now we see a change, I guess, from a traditional relational database where name, address, telephone number, it switches to different types of information kind of bombarding my listeners. And maybe you can just define big data for our listeners. We can start from there, Peter.
No, absolutely. So it's a great question. So this term big data, it's a new buzzword of the IT industry right now. It's drawing a lot of attention. There is a story, as you say, there's a story behind the hype. For decades, we've had these business decisions based upon what we would consider to be transactional data stored predominantly in those relational databases you're talking about. So, but beyond that critical data, however, there is this potential treasure trove of non-traditional, less structured data, things like web logs, social media, email information, sensors and imagery, geospatial. We've seen this dramatic increase in this production of this data. We've also seen a dramatic decrease in the cost of storing it and managing it. So with both of these things happening, this big data concept has come about. And only a few short years ago, we would have been discarding or getting rid of or archiving this data. But, so we're now seeing technologies and techniques as how to extract real business value out of the mountains of this information. And that's really where we see big data coming from.
And I think anyone who's been alive for the last couple of years realized that Facebook, LinkedIn, Yahoo, a lot of social media has grown dramatically, and they've been challenged with trying to handle all this amount of data. When Facebook has 500 million people, then 700 million people, the people who are handling all that information are challenged with what in the world to do and how to do it efficiently and effectively. And I think this is the origins of some of this term of big data, isn't it?
Absolutely. And it's not just the social media, which is obviously very top of mind, but think as well, at the same time, we were seeing sensors getting placed on all manner of equipment. I read recently somewhere that a jet engine can produce over 10 terabytes of sensor-based data in 30 minutes. Now, the last time I checked, the federal government has a lot of jet engines. So we have an opportunity to really apply new techniques to all of this data to reduce the cost of maintaining systems and to really explore this data to get the value out of it.
If you, in the commercial world, you read about surveys, and InfoWorld says that 55% of major corporations have moved to some type of cloud. We know that. If you look at the federal government, and Federal News Radio here's done a survey, and 83% of their CIOs said that they've met the deadline to move at least one system into the cloud. So it's like, well, 2012, check, move to the cloud, here it is. Now what? Well, now you have all this information. Well, what do you do with it? It's like you're having a party and you have 100 people over your house. Well, what am I going to feed them? Well, I mean, what do you do with all this information?
And herein lies the challenge. It is a new technology. There's a new whole world of data out there. And John, one of the ways I like to think about this is what I call the four Vs. There's variety of data. It's coming in at a rapid velocity. There's a lot of it, so there's volume. But the issue here is this to the federal IT professional. How can we gain value from that information? Having lots of data may be a nice thing to have, but if we can't discern information and take decisions and actions based upon that, it's just a nice, cool technology.
And I think another risk that many of my listeners may fall into is, you know, they're at a site and they hear this word Hadoop, and they go to Wikipedia, they read Hadoop, and they go, well, I'm going to get me some Hadoop. Well, it's like buying one internal combustion engine and saying, hey, honey, I got a new internal combustion engine. Take the kids to school. I mean, Hadoop is just a part of the puzzle, isn't it?
Absolutely. And it's like buying just a piece of the engine from 14 or 15 different
right.
vendors. I mean, when you think about the fact that Hadoop was invented or created by Doug Cutting of Cloudera, and he named it after the stuffed little elephant toy
for his boy.
I mean, you know that you're into an interesting journey here if you take on Hadoop. But Hadoop is a framework. It's a set of technologies, primarily two pieces, to give you an idea. There is a storage, sort of what we call a reliable data storage piece, and you'll hear this word Hadoop Distributed File System, HDFS. And then there's a way to analyze that and sort of to process the data that's in that file system. And that's used a technique called MapReduce, which is really a high-end, highbrow, parallel processing, low-level programming area. And, you know, it does require a certain set of skills. And there's an evolving skill around the data scientist, some people are calling, to actually take advantage of these technologies.
I keep thinking of the movie Back to the Future. It had a car called the DeLorean car. Remember that car?
Oh, yes.
And a neighbor of mine owned one of those cars, and it had a Ford motor in it. But it had all this Italian design. It looked kind of cool. But the basic Ford motor, you know, the car didn't sell very well. But that motor can be put in different configurations, like maybe a Ford F-150 truck, and all of a sudden you have a bestseller. And so just having the motor doesn't mean you're going to have something that's going to solve problems.
Absolutely. It is a piece of the puzzle and only a small piece of the overall puzzle. In the end of the day, what we're seeing is that our customers are going to have to fit this into their portfolio. They can't just rip out everything and replace. It needs to be part of a solution versus the entire solution itself.
So what Oracle has done is they've said, well, geez, we're hitting home runs with relational databases. Geez, we're real fast. We can do all kinds of stuff. Now we have different types of information. So how can we serve our federal customers better? Well, maybe this appliance we put together can take the best of breed with this and that and come up with an economical solution that can handle all these huge amounts of data sets.
Yeah, and so we really recognize this new evolution, and we've been watching it very carefully. You know, being a data company of over 30 years, this is a fantastic era to be a data company. All of a sudden, big data, the word data, is in the term du jour of the day in our industry. So we have come out recently and announced the Oracle Big Data Appliance, which was recently released. We have done so in partnership with Cloudera, and it includes all of the component pieces required to get your project for big data up and running.
Yeah, Cloudera is almost the name, the big name in the big data world. And I think this product was maybe announced a few months back, and now it's actually available for sale, so you can have it delivered.
Absolutely. We announced general availability last week.
Great. And so give us just, you know, we're going to take a break here in about a minute. Give us the three or four main components of this appliance, please.
Absolutely. So wrapped in our sheet metal, when you get the box, it's a big, tall box, looks like a fridge freezer. You're going to have Cloudera's distribution of the Apache Hadoop engine. Also, Cloudera's Manager, which is a software product for controlling and managing all this environment. We also have the Oracle open source distribution of R, which is a statistical analytical technology, Oracle's NoSQL Database Community Edition, Oracle's Java Virtual Machine, and Oracle Linux running as the operating system. All of these pieces together give you around about 648 terabytes of raw storage and a mere 216 processing cores in a big in a big box that sits in the corner of the room. And if you really feel up to it, you can connect all these together, up to eight of them actually, before you have to buy a switch. Now let me count it up. That's 1,728 processing cores. That's a lot of work you can do with one system.
Take the automobile analogy here. That's a Ferrari Testarossa sitting in the corner there, you know? It's not just a motor, it's everything tweaked for fast.
Absolutely.
Great. We're going to take a quick break. We come back, talk more about Ferrari Testarossas and big data. We are sitting in the studio here with Peter Doolin, who is the Group Vice President and Chief Technologist for Oracle Public Sector.
Caps fans, there's more than one big game on Sunday. Don't miss the Sunday matinee against the Boston Bruins on Sunday, February 5th at 12:30 p.m. The Caps beat the Bruins 5-3 last week and look to do it again on Sunday. Caps games are always huge events. The fans are always pumped up. Always a great time. This is the hottest ticket in town. Tickets are very limited, so call 202-397-SEAT or log on to washingtoncaps.com/singleticks and do your part in building America's hockey capital.
There are those who dedicate themselves to a sense of honor, to a life of courage, and a commitment to something greater than themselves. They have always defended this nation and each other. They still do. The few. The proud. The Marines.
The Pentagon and Beyond is brought to you by EADS North America.
The threat of terrorism is a multi-pronged problem. From cyber terrorism to biohazard threats, the possibilities seem endless and maybe overwhelming. But experts say there are lots of things we can do to prepare and prevent terrorism. The most important is eliminating fear and controlling stress. The threat itself is often more of a problem, experts say, than the actual terror events themselves. I'm J.J. Green.
911, what's your emergency?
Every day, EADS North America supports Homeland Security and defense missions here at home and around the globe. Whether it's responding to emergencies or disasters, providing military helicopters or systems that patrol and secure our borders and coastlines, EADS North America delivers on our promises every day. EADS North America, commitment defines us.
Arming your home security system gives you peace of mind, but are you paying $30, $40, $50 or more in monitoring fees? Switch to Ackerman Security Systems, the metro area's most trusted name in security, and pay just $18.95 a month. That's right, $18.95 a month, and no cost to switch. Don't have a system? Then Ackerman offers the latest technology, including wireless monitoring. Call by Wednesday and get 3 months of basic monitoring free when you switch or start service with Ackerman. Call 888-999-1070, AckermanSecurity.com.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy?
For freedom.
Freedom of religion.
What America stands for.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy? For honor.
Everybody. And watch out for everybody.
Freedom to vote.
Democracy.
Freedom to go outside and play with my kids.
I join the Navy to serve my country.
Every freedom that we have.
The right to raise our kids in peace.
My little brother.
My wife. My kids.
Our children's children.
The United States Navy.
It's not for ourselves alone that we serve.
Hi, this is Jim Flysick. Please join me on Thursday, February 2nd at 12 noon for my monthly series, The Federal Executive Forum. This month's program will focus on critical issues facing government and industry leaders in securing cyberspace. The panel includes government leaders from DHS, U.S. Cyber Command, and OSD. Don't miss The Federal Executive Forum on Thursday, February 2nd at 12 noon right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and online at federalnewsradio.com.
Sponsored by Lockheed Martin and McAfee.
Welcome to today's lottery drawing. And today's winning numbers are not yours, not yours, and another number that's not yours. And the final number is not yours.
When it comes to having money, don't rely on luck. Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering it. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Peter Doolin, Group Vice President and Chief Technologist, Oracle Public Sector, talking about big data and big headaches and the big government and all kinds of big. Reminds me of the movie Big from many, many years ago. Before the break, we just had a quick thumbnail sketch of an appliance that Oracle is starting to sell. So my question to you is, so we see a press release here, Oracle's got an appliance, and my listeners are sitting back and going, well, what am I supposed to do, replace my current Oracle appliance with this one, or where does it fit in for my listeners?
Absolutely, great question. Think of it like this. We have, up until this point in time, for all of this unstructured data, be it coming from a sensor or from a social media website, a lot of that information has been discarded, hasn't been infused into the rest of the enterprise to augment your current portfolio of data strategies. So we see big data and Oracle's big data appliance as the acquisition phase of an architecture that allows you to capture this data for the first time, to sift through this massive trove of information, to discern value from it, and then to push that information into other parts of your architecture. So, for instance, it allows you to take information, and using the Oracle loader for Hadoop, you can now push that information into your Oracle database so you can analyze it with the tools and information infrastructure you've already got today.
Is it limited to just Oracle information? What about stuff from SharePoint? What about stuff from Documentum, maybe Facebook?
Absolutely. All of the above and more. There's a ever-growing large list of data sources across the enterprise. All of this information comes in a variety of different shapes and sizes. We can't foresee what it would look like in the future. So this technology, this big data concept, truly has the ability to ingest vast quantities of unstructured information, search through it, filter through it, and do it in parallel across lots of compute nodes that are connected together with high-speed networks.
So this would be in addition to what you have, or if your agency is faced with a challenge of analyzing new types of data, this might be the quick step to analyze that quickly and fast.
Absolutely. This is a new strategy, a new set of technologies that would augment your current portfolio.
Now, everyone throws around the word unique, but I think when it comes to Oracle, this is kind of a unique product. In that it uses commodity hardware and open source software, it makes me put a different hat on when I think about Oracle. I keep thinking Oracle licensed software. No, this is a change.
No, it's a huge mind shift for us. I mean, since the coming together of Oracle and Sun and other acquisitions that we've made in the past, such as BEA for Java, this is allowing us now to finally wrap, as I said, in one piece of sheet metal all that intellectual property to allow you to take advantage of tremendous changes in the IT industry, but do it quickly. Too much time is spent by our customers in the federal IT universe pulling together the commensurate pieces to build a solution. Instead, why not accelerate those projects, bring in a pre-engineered system, call it an appliance if you wish, that then you can place onto your data center floor and get going as quickly as possible.
There may be some listeners that are scratching their heads going, well, I've never seen this in anyone's office before. It's a brand new product. I mean, I want to see some experience. But that's really not true. If you realize that this appliance is bundled with Cloudera, Cloudera has got experience in the federal government. USA Search, GC Federal's got experience with Cloudera. PNNL Bioinformatics has got it. Chirpa Surfing, U.S. Department of State. So there are instances of big data being used by the federal government.
Absolutely. In fact, I would even go as far as to say that we in the government, especially the federal government, are going to be the vanguard for innovation in big data across all industries. This is a wonderful opportunity for federal government IT professionals to step forward and be seen as innovators across the entire set of industries. So we're very excited.
Let me just take a topic here. Fraud detection, Take a company like LexisNexis, they have to sift through a lot of data and just try to figure out where the fraud is. They do this in the commercial world, and oh, by the way, they're doing it in the federal government. This is a perfect application. I mean, if you're looking at healthcare and fraud, you have to take a look at large data sets, and this is a great application for something like this in the financial world, financial fraud detection.
Absolutely. So think of the area of, or the issues of responsible government. For responsible government, we have a need to look at issues such as waste, fraud, and abuse, look at how we can get the right kind of service to the right kind of citizen at the right kind of time. And to do that, we need to be able to look at vast quantities of information to make those decisions.
Everyone's budget who's listening to this show is going to get pinched here this year. We know that. It's going to get pulled back. Everyone has to do more with less. There are agencies that people are getting pulled back. People are being offered nice packages to retire. So many of my listeners are in a position where oh my goodness, I want to catch the fraud, but what's the most efficient way I can do this? And if you look at the pricing for this, this is almost like a you buy what you need type of pricing for this. This isn't, a mortgage the house. This is almost almost scalable with the data, but scalable as far as purchasing and using it, isn't it?
No, absolutely. We've been very aggressive with this product. And I totally agree with you. With the hyper-cost-conscious federal IT environment we have today, you really have two choices. Choice number one is you build a system with a constellation of software fragments and hardware pieces, and you form some kind of coherent strategy. That's expensive. Or choice number two, you purchase a system already engineered, pre-engineered, with all the moving parts required. It accelerates your project, reduces your risk. So our message is let Oracle and our partner Cloudera, do the engineering work back in our labs. Let us take that risk off your shoulders.
If you sit and talk to the Cloudera people, you realize that these are some smart people who've really thought this through very carefully. It can handle very, very large data sets, 64 to 250 megabytes. And it's also redundant, by the way, and it's fast because it runs in parallel. It's like, well, give me a checklist for how, if I have this problem of, let's say 2.5 quintillion bytes of data being collected every day, the airplane analogy earlier in the show was interesting. I mean, this is the checklist for being able to handle this amount of data.
Absolutely. If you need a strategy whereby you as a federal IT professional have to be able to consume, analyze, and take action on all of the information that's coming in from all those sensors you have, and I can think of so many ideas and so many spaces in the federal government, this is going to be a fundamental execution part of your strategy.
So if you look at sensors of the jet airplane, if you look at data coming in from smartphones, geographic location, I keep thinking of the people doing weather reports and that amount of data there. Sometimes that data is just coming in too fast for a structured process, isn't it?
Absolutely. And that's where the Hadoop infrastructure comes in. When you have massively parallel infrastructure where you can load and push all of the information across many connected systems, than doing all of that in parallel with a scripting language and a tool that allows mere mortals to communicate all these systems together, that allows you now to respond with the velocity and the value that comes with this information.
When I think of appliance, I think of maybe a refrigerator or a stove. I bought both those in the last year, so I'm pretty familiar with appliances. So this is an appliance, and it's put together. It has some unique characteristics. I guess I've been around so long, I think of everything being connected with Ethernet. And I've had one of the founders and the guy who wrote some Ethernet code in here in the studio. So, I assume that these are linked together with Ethernet, but it is not an option. I mean, there's different options in there. One of them is with something called InfiniBand. Is that right?
Correct. Well, this is the big difference. So what Oracle has been doing with our engineered systems approach, and we have a number of engineered systems. We have Exadata for Oracle's data. Databases, Exalogic for Java, Exalytics for in-memory BI and analytics, etc. And now we have with the Big Data Appliance, all of these share a common networking infrastructure, which is InfiniBand. So we have really gone and doubled down at Oracle on the InfiniBand technology, and we have written all of our infrastructure to leverage InfiniBand as the networking fabric to connect all these systems together, be it storage or compute.
I work for a little company, and our chief technology officer, a guy in college, he studied ecology and biology. And then when he got out, then he learned programming. And it makes sense because you figure ecology, all of a sudden all these systems have to interrelate. And that's what I think the system is. I mean, it's more of an ecosystem than a product. You can say, well, it's a product, but it has to be able to work with other products, gathering data, taking that data, analyzing it, and doing analytics on it.
Absolutely. And the point you made about InfiniBand is so important. These systems have to scale potentially to hundreds, if not thousands, of nodes. You look at the major Hadoop distributions that are in production today with the big web premises on the internet. They're in massive data centers connecting massive numbers of systems together. Well, in the federal IT world, we have to do the same thing at a much lower cost. We have to be very sensitive to the cost of these projects. To do that, you need to have a technology that is pre-integrated out in the factory, and you're not putting all of this componentry together on your data center floor.
We're going to have to take a little break here. When we come back, what I'd like you to do is maybe think of two or three specific applications where one of my listeners can be challenged with, massive amounts of data and trying to put it all together quickly and see where this appliance may fit in. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Peter Doolin, Group Vice President and Chief Technologist, Oracle Public Sector.
Things just don't happen. You need a plan. A federal career can last 30 years or more, and so can federal retirement. Tune in each Monday at 10 a.m. to get the information you need to plan your course for financial security, solid benefits, and optimum health care. 100% focused on the federal employee for your benefit. Presented by NITP has the answers to your mid-career and retirement planning questions. Listen to For Your Benefit Mondays at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Federal News Radio for an hour that can change your future.
In the beloved fairy tale Beauty and the Beast, Belle and the Beast learn that true beauty is found within and live happily ever after. Today, our happily ever afters are being threatened by the fact that nearly one in three children in America are overweight or obese. Now is the time to make good nutrition and physical activity part of your family's daily lifestyle. To learn more, visit letsmove.gov, brought to you by Let's Move, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and the Ad Council.
Today, my journey to help save people money on car insurance brought me to our nation's capital. I was taking a stroll around the mall when I met a very nice gentleman from Ohio who asked me a question. What kind of word is Geico anyway? An excellent question, I replied. I told him that Geico isn't a word, it's an acronym, and it stands for Government Employees Insurance Company. I explained how Geico actually got its start 75 years ago to help federal employees save money on car insurance. Interesting, the man replied. But today, Geico saves lots of people money on car insurance, including me. Have you ever thought about changing the name? I said. It's a thought. But Gecko sounds like Geico. If we change the name, I might be out of a job. We strolled a bit more, stopped for some tea, and we both agreed. It's probably best to keep the name just like it is. Geico.
To get a free rate quote, go to geico.com, then buy online or over the phone. If you're a federal employee or belong to an association like Big, Few, Young Government Leaders, and others, you may qualify for a special discount. Contact Geico today to request your special federal savings.
Meeting Mission Goals Through Health, brought to you by General Dynamics IT.
The Office of Personnel Management says all federal employees who use the Federal Employee Health Benefits Plan will soon be able to download their own personal health records. Providers in the FEHBP are adding the Blue Button technology, initially spearheaded by the Department of Veterans Affairs. OPM says it'll let fans access their own lab results, medication and problem lists, allergies, appointment data, and wellness reminders from a secure website.
General Dynamics IT is meeting the challenges of a complex healthcare environment that requires far-reaching experience and full-spectrum capabilities. Government, military, and commercial health payer organizations rely on General Dynamics IT's health services, solutions, and support to tackle their toughest issues. General Dynamics IT's broad understanding of healthcare data, military health missions, fraud, waste and abuse protection, and more ensures support and innovation tailored to your real-world needs. Today's healthcare challenges are formidable. To learn more, go to GDIT.com.
Experience GW basketball in one of DC's best college venues, the Colonials Club. As a member of the Colonials Club, you will enjoy a game day atmosphere that is unmatched in Washington area college basketball. Your philanthropic donation and loyal support for GW Athletics provides countless opportunities to our student athletes in pursuit of both their academic and athletic goals. Call 202-994-7325 to join the Colonials Club today and help raise high the buff and blue.
Here's your chance to get out for some fun. Marvin Bond is the editor of Recreation News.
If you go back in history, you'd find that chocolate was a favorite of Thomas Jefferson even. And if you are an aficionado of Thomas Jefferson and chocolate, you want to head down to Monticello, a dam near Charlottesville, Virginia, on February the 4th. Their chocolate celebration takes place from 1 to 4 p.m. that day. It includes chef demonstrations, tastings, wine, and chocolate pairings. You can find out more about the chocolate celebration down at Monticello at monticello.org.
And can we save money now by planning for a vacation later this spring?
Yes, when you're looking for bargains now, it can pay off if you're planning a trip to the Orlando area later. SouthwestVacations.com has a sale on right now for packages at Universal Orlando that include both your airfare and obviously your resort tickets and accommodations. For these deals, you need to book by February the 9th and travel by June 30th.
Marvin Bond is the editor of Recreation News. I'm Ruben Gomez.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Peter Doolin, Group Vice President and Chief Technologist, Oracle Public Sector. We've been talking about Oracle and Big Data. I know Oracle's got a bunch of blogs. Do you have a blog yourself, Peter?
I do not have a blog.
Oh, boy.
I shut it down. I get way too many emails, and Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn have me completely consumed.
Wow, no blog. I've been on the radio now for 20 years on Tuesdays, so my blog's called the Tech Tuesday Blog. So I'll be talking about this interview on there, and listeners always want, there's got to be all kinds of blogs on big data. I mean, all kinds of places to get information, huh?
Absolutely. I mean, as we said, it is the term du jour in the industry right now. Cloud is passé. Big data is a new word.
I see. Let's back up a little bit and talk about relational databases and maybe put this in perspective for some of our listeners. Okay, how did relational databases maybe evolve and what's going with them and maybe some management with them and how this big data kind of interrupts everything?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's little sort of travel through history here. The relational database was actually first described in 1970 by a guy called Edgar Codd. It was an IBM research paper called System R4 Relational. So
Edgar, I hope my daughter doesn't marry a guy named Edgar Codd.
It's a long time ago. It's 42 years. I mean, it's over 40 years ago. It was 1977 that three guys, Larry Ellison, Bob Miner, and Ed Oates, founded Oracle. And with that, the vision of or the mission of taking the concept from Codd's papers and turning it into a product were born. And in fact, our first customer was in the intelligence community here in Washington, D.C. So Oracle was called Project Oracle at a certain intelligence agency not far from here. So that's where the name of the company came from. So we are born of the federal IT universe and have been very, very loyal to that universe ever since. So, you know, the evolution of the relational database, by the way, has radically changed over the last 30 years. You think of things such as non-structured data like geospatial, very common for us to have GIS data inside an Oracle database. XML information, anywhere you look at payment systems today, you're going to see the payment being transmitted in some kind of XML message format. And then growing importance, especially for the Department of Defense, is around connecting information from disparate systems semantically. So rather than actually saying an invoice is an invoice in two different systems, they can describe themselves to each other so that machines communicate versus the human having to interpret what's taking place. So all of those technologies are now exist and are codified inside an Oracle relational database. So it's very much a different product from the 30 years ago when it first was born.
So this isn't the end of relational databases. No, this is just, you know, another way to look at data. This is just a different flavor.
Absolutely.
I mean, they're going to be around. Oracle's going to be around. I mean, not going to close up shop.
No, absolutely.
A big data company.
And this is why we're so excited about big data, because the conversation in IT is now all back around data. And, you know, we've gone away from that conversation for many, many years. I mean, we had lots of conversations around Java and languages and other things, which are very, very important. But now we're asking our IT professionals to treat data as a first-class citizen within the IT infrastructure. So we're beginning to see, and this is where we can talk about this later, the role of the data scientist or the data IT professional is going to grow within our customer base.
And really, when you take a look at all this information coming in, we'll find now we finally have a product that can vacuum up this information. But, you know, now we have human beings that have to have a whole process of understanding the data, how to handle it, how to slice it and dice it. What about columnar information? What to integrate with what? I mean, I think the human part of this is almost as much as part as talking about InfiniBand.
Absolutely. I would even go as far as say the human part is even the most important piece of this. So if you look at the acquisition phase of what we now see for big data appliances, we're going to acquire the data from the sensors. We're going to process all that through some kind of MapReduce technology. We're going to use Hadoop as a sort of the framework to manage all of that. The data can be stored right there in that big data appliance in what we call Oracle's NoSQL database. It's a very simplistic file, distributed file system that allows us to store that data. But at some point in time, you will want to move functions of that or pieces of that over to your relational platform, be they Oracle or non-Oracle, so that you can then go and actually analyze that with the tools and the skills you've already got invested in the enterprise.
What about certifications and benchmarks for these big data appliances? I mean, is there a way to measure something in petaflops, or is that not a fair comparison? Or is there some kind of with a car, they talk about gear ratio and speed and 0 to 60 and handling. What kind of benchmarks are there for these types of appliances?
Well, great question. At this point in time, there's no formalized benchmarking process that you would sort of equate to a TPCC or some kind of Java or database benchmark. However, there are some very, very, very simple benchmarks one could do, which is the search speed. How quickly can I search through n number of documents for a given word or phrase? So if you think about of today, you're using an internet search engine to mine, you know, massive amounts of information to go and search for a tiny piece of information within that sea of data. That is, and you look at that screen, you'll see a very fast response time. That's the kind of expectation customers have today for enterprise systems using big data appliances to actually go and sift through their enterprise data to find an answer to a very simple question.
My daughter's working on her capstone project in engineering at UVA, and I'm sure if she heard this conversation, she'd say, well, geez, Dad, can't you just sample data? I mean, we sample data all the time in engineering, and the bridges hold up. Now, some buildings just collapsed in Rio de Janeiro, but generally speaking, the bridges hold up. Can't you? Why do you have to have every single nook and cranny? Isn't that a waste of your time?
Well, this is a great question. So I would answer that by saying that not all projects require a big data appliance. For those who have tremendous sensor data and machine data that's coming in from other sources or social data, then we're seeing a whole new evolution of what we call sentiment-based analytics, where we're looking to see what is the sentiment, say, through social media for what's taking place. Maybe we're trying to get a bill through Congress, and we want to be able to see, you know, how are people reacting to the discussion, the democratic discourse that's taking place. Or maybe we are looking at a major piece of engineering and we have tremendous amounts of sensor data coming in from tests and we want to see if this bridge will truly hold up to the stresses of wind and rain, etc. Well, in that case, maybe, you know, good enough isn't good enough. We have to go and look at every single piece of data and validate that all of our assumptions are correct.
Peter, you're a brave man. We're talking about an appliance, and you just said, oh, you may not need this appliance. I mean, you must be either real confident or naive or something. But you're right. I mean, every single appliance isn't a good fit everywhere. And the objective behind having this conversation is so my listeners can maybe go to Oracle, learn about this appliance, talk to someone, and it may be a good fit for them, and maybe it isn't, but they can keep it in the back of their mind and say, oh, finally, I switch agencies. Now we can use it.
Absolutely. And my comments come from the fact that there are many ways to solve a problem. And this is just one of several. So we're not trying to fit a round peg into a square hole here. Big data has a very specific sweet spot that it makes sense to attack a given problem. In some other areas, using other engineered systems from a company like Oracle, such as Oracle's Exadata, would allow us to take an Oracle relational database, infuse that into an engineered infrastructure with storage and compute power and network, and produce radical performance benefits to your traditional relational infrastructure. And also with the work we've been doing with our new engineered system from Oracle, Oracle Exalytics, which is this whole universe of in-memory business intelligence, where this new evolution of memory technologies allows us to have terabytes of information in memory and to do near real-time or real-time analytics of that data. Well, they're all engineered systems. They all have a place in the ecosystem. And it really comes down to, what's the problem you're trying to solve? Let's use the right tool for the right problem.
And this tool we're talking about actually has 864 gigabytes of memory. I mean, for people my age, I mean, that's really obscene. I mean, that's just craziness.
Well, it comes down to, again, what's the problem you're trying to solve? We're beginning to see situations where there's such an amazing mass of information out there. It's almost, once you start peeling back the layers of the onion, you begin to realize just how much is out there.
We're going to take a little break and come back. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Peter Doolan, Group Vice President and Chief Technologist, Oracle Public Sector.
You download the free applications for your iPhone or iPad or Android smartphone, and then you go to their network, and then it knows all of the infrared codes for these things, and it's got the programming for 500 models. And then once you download the specific details for the model of the equipment that you have, this remote control will control everything.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Arming your home security system gives you peace of mind, but are you paying $30, $40, $50 or more in monitoring fees? Switch to Ackerman Security Systems, the metro area's most trusted name in security, and pay just $18.95 a month. That's right, $18.95 a month, and no cost to switch. Don't have a system? Then Ackerman offers the latest technology, including wireless monitoring. Call by Wednesday and get 3 months of basic monitoring free when you switch or start service with Ackerman. Call 888-999-1070, AckermanSecurity.com.
What is the strategic vision for today's U.S. Air Force? How is the Air Force managing in an era of fiscal constraint? What is the Air Force doing to improve its operations and become more efficient and agile? Join host Michael Keegan as he explores these questions and much more with his very special guest, Aaron Connaughton, Undersecretary of the U.S. Air Force, next week on the Business of Government Hour.
And now the Federal Living Report, brought to you by WEPA.
Remembering what happened at the doctor's office should get easier if you get health care through any federal employee's plan. Participating insurers are putting a blue button on their websites that lets you download your medical history with one click. Depending on your insurer, you may have to enter the data yourself, but more sophisticated versions take it directly from doctor's offices. FEHB officials are asking insurers to include wellness reminders, appointments, medications, and lab results.
When did you last review your life insurance coverage? WEPA, a nonprofit association founded in 1943, provides life insurance to federal employees at rates significantly less than the federal program. WEPA also has a premium refund policy that's returned over $58 million to its policyholders since 1996. WEPA gives its policyholders more coverage, more benefits, and greater flexibility, yet costs much less. Visit WAEPA.org to learn about all of your options. Again, that's WAEPA.org.
Caps fans, there's more than one big game on Sunday. Don't miss the Sunday matinee against the Boston Bruins on Sunday, February 5th at 12:30 p.m. The Caps beat the Bruins 5-3 last week and look to do it again on Sunday. Caps games are always huge events. The fans are always pumped up. Always a great time. This is the hottest ticket in town. Tickets are very limited, so call 202-397-SEAT or log on to WashingtonCaps.com/singleticks and do your part in building America's hockey capital.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m. right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
I love my husband, but I didn't realize our difficulties had to do with his drinking. Our pastor suggested I go to Al-Anon family groups. I didn't think I would be comfortable, but I decided to try a meeting. The Al-Anon meeting really opened my eyes. Are you troubled by someone's drinking? You might be surprised at what you could learn in an Al-Anon family group meeting from people just like you. Call 1-888-4-Al-Anon.
Register today for Affirm's February 14th luncheon for an in-depth look at how government policy is born at the General Services Administration. Federal News Radio's Francis Rose will discuss government's leading policy think tank, GSA's Office of Government-Wide Policy, with the senior management team headed by Associate Administrator Kathleen Turco. This luncheon briefing will take place in Washington at the Sofitel Hotel. Register today for Affirm's Valentine's Day program at affirm.org.
Want the latest Department of Defense news? Listen every Wednesday for DoD Wednesday on Federal News Radio. Wednesday afternoons at 2, Federal News Radio DoD reporter Jared Serbu hosts On DoD, a discussion with senior managers about how the department meets its mission. Then stick around Wednesday afternoons at 3 when in-depth host Francis Rose brings you Pentagon Solutions, a deep dive into the issues and challenges of the defense community. All this plus our daily DoD updates at 40 past the hour, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio with Peter Doolin, Group Vice President and Chief Technologist of Oracle Public Systems. We spent many minutes here talking about Oracle and an appliance, and many of my listeners are scratching their heads listening to that accent and going, I wonder if he's really a nerd or not, or what kind of a guy is he? Does he really know this stuff? Or so what I have is a scientific 10-question survey here, and we'll find out if exactly a card-carrying nerd or not. First question for you, Peter. Year of your first computer?
1981.
Whoa, that's big points. That's big nerd points. Really
you won't even know what this is. It's a Sinclair ZX81.
Oh, I remember Sinclair real well. Yeah, I was there. Just in grade school at the time, but I was around. Your first cell phone.
Your first cell phone, 1990, a Motorola with an external battery pack.
Ooh, indeed.
It was a self-defense piece of equipment for the London Metro called the London Tube. It's
big, big, big. And your Twitter feed?
At Peter Doolan.
At Peter Doolan, D-O-O-L-A-N.
Correct.
Okay. What's the title of your blog?
No blog. I got rid of it.
Okay. Maybe this is the new cutting edge for nerds, getting away from blogs. There's 150 million of them out there. Do you use any online personal backup?
I do. I am an advocate, a fan of the Apple iCloud service.
Good, good, good. And flavor smartphone?
Of course, iOS.
Okay. And number of apps on your iPhone?
I'm an addict. I'll admit it. I stopped counting.
Stopped counting. This is the needle is starting to go into the nerd range here, buddy. Stopped counting. I've had people talk of pages and hundreds, but stopped counting. Tablet device?
Both iPad and Kindle. They have roles. One for the airplane, one for home.
Okay. And what social networking sites do you participate in?
You can find me on Facebook and on LinkedIn.
Yeah, I saw that picture on LinkedIn, kind of a solid little, like a football player picture, wasn't it? Like, hey, come on, try to get this in back.
I'm trying to keep it professional on LinkedIn. Yeah. Facebook's different.
And the last book you read, was it paper or electronic?
It actually was electronic, and it was Super Crunchers.
Wow, you're pretty high in this scale here. Wow, the people are going to think you have like a pocket protector and you have like a foil thing on your head to protect you from the sun rays coming in. And pretty high grade there.
Thank you so much.
I wanted to be a nerd.
I'm proud of my nerdism. Thank you very much.
Well, from being a nerd to talking about technology, let's get back to Oracle and some of the challenges that my listeners face here. You know, we have an election coming up, and you know, it's going to be filled with all kinds of changes. And you know, if you look at the last few years, it's been changing. People moving to the cloud. Now we're talking about big data. What's going to happen in the next 4 to 6 years here? I mean, Oracle has a long history of working with the federal government. Where do you think this is going to fit in? Is this going to be just another segment, another offering? Is this just going to be the flavor of the day? Or where's this whole idea of big data? Where's it heading?
No, I think we're heading to this point in time where data is now flowing with real velocity through enterprises. So we're finally seeing the unleashing of information as it flows. And there are a lot of reasons why it has stayed in the silos it's in today. And I think over the next 4 to 5 years, we will finally see data and information flowing freely, especially now with the advent of all the differences of mobile devices where you can access that information from anywhere at any time. So between social infusion of social capabilities in enterprise applications, so take your HR payroll system and have social capabilities inside there in context, delivered on a flat mobile device that's easy to use, ubiquitous access from anywhere. I think we're in for the golden age of IT. I think there's all sorts of wonderful innovations yet to come. And data is going to be, you know, once it's there, it will spawn entire evolutions of applications and technologies and business models.
I tried to set up a Twitter account, and some Irish guy named John Gilroy took my name. I got to fly over there and beat him up. So my Twitter handle is at Ray Gilray, at John Gilroy. He's that scoundrel from Ireland, so we don't mention him. Speaking of social media here, if you are listening, you know, 6 months from now, middle of the summertime when it's hot, you want to maybe learn more about Oracle, there is a social media site you can go to. You can go to facebook.com/OraclePublicSector. Maybe get some information, or maybe it's a starting point, just another place to go to learn about some of the new technology from Oracle. Well, I don't think Oracle is just sitting in a ditch, throwing this thing over the ditch and trying to see if it has any sales or progress. I mean, there's other things going on in Oracle. What's going on in Oracle besides this? We know there's devices hooked up this to do some business intelligence as well, aren't there?
And absolutely. So this is the acquisition phase of a portfolio of products that we've come out with over the last few years. It's been very exciting. Since the bringing together of Sun and Oracle, we've been able to take some tremendous hardware technologies, operating system technologies such as Solaris, et cetera, and to be able to build these engineered systems. So we have a number of what we call engineered systems. Exadata, for taking your Oracle relational databases and to supercharging them with the infusion of these technologies together. Exalogic, for taking Java applications and, again, accelerating them using these technologies. And, of course, Oracle has recently released the Oracle Supercluster, which is a combination of these technologies for our Spark Solaris customers who can take advantage of these new evolutions in the combination of software and hardware together. Today, for instance, I've already been getting phone calls from our customers around Exalytics, Exalytics is this concept of in-memory, large in-memory nodes of compute power.
That's hard for me to wrap my brain around, but this is where it's at.
This is where it's at. Everyone knows that they've got this information, they've summarized it, now they've got to get some intelligence out of it. And what we're finding is that the consumer is no longer the power user sitting behind the big oak table at some agency headquarters. The consumer is now everyone in the enterprise. Everyone who has access to a mobile device needs to get access to the corporate enterprise mission agency data. And to do that, we need a whole new class of computer system, and Oracle Exalogic and Exalytics combined are providing that for our customers.
And as far as training goes, if one of my listeners wants to learn more, I think Cloudera is not a bad place to start. They give you very good tools for understanding where this all fits in, don't they?
Absolutely. And I would advise you, any of your listeners, go to Cloudera's website. They have a wonderful section on training. They've done a lot of work to help to instill the skills required for the data architect that's required in this new generation. And they do have training coming up later this summer here in the D.C. area.
And if you want to do online training, there's a local company called Kara, C-A-R-A, Kerasoft. They're partners with you. They're partners with Cloudera. And they have some very interesting webinars that just, you can sit back, 9 o'clock at night, there's no football on, so you want to maybe learn about this. You can fire up your computer and go through a quick webinar and stop it and take notes and restart it. And that's the most, I think that's the best thing of this whole technology change is you can do it when you want, where you want, 3 o'clock in the morning,
absolutely,
9 o'clock at night, and you can start and stop and take notes and then go on and compare it with other products.
Absolutely. John, I would say this is a call to action to your listeners. This is a whole new evolution of IT coming. Let's pause, take a moment, get online, get some training, educate yourself in this new revolution. It's going to be very exciting. We are very excited at Oracle to see this happening, and we're looking forward to serving our customers going into the future.
I think we started this interview where I snapped my fingers and said, yeah, I'm going to get me some Hadoop, and we're going to get us a big data here. You know what I mean? Well, you're going to look like a fool if you start talking that way with your colleagues. And I think the best defense or the best understanding of this is to go online when you have some spare time and try to figure out what this Cloudera is all about. Try to figure out what the Hadoop is. And maybe the answer is, well, yes, you spent 2 hours understanding Hadoop. You got a good grasp of it. Not the right fit.
And I would even say for those listeners who have been developers in their early years of their careers, you will find tremendous parallels to the programming techniques and technologies that you'll find in Hadoop and MapReduce to those developers who started off in the 80s, where we were very conscious of the resources required to process data. And we wrote a lot of very low-level programming that took advantage of the optimizations within those computing systems. Well, guess what? It's back to the future. We're back to the DeLorean again. And we were seeing the same skills are now in vogue for this new revolution. So very exciting.
When you look at the CAO survey that Federal News Radio did, we mentioned it earlier in the show, just real quickly here, they talked about delivering things quickly. And many of my listeners are forced into delivering things quickly. So they have to say complex data, changing rapidly, deliver quickly. You have to at least learn about this new technology. It may be a tool you can pull from your shelf, but you have to learn about it, especially if you're under the gun to produce something quickly, whether it's an emergency, whether it's an event, whether it is a earthquake or a flood somewhere in the United States.
Absolutely. And this is where the unstructured nature of the technology comes to fore. In a relational database, you do have to put some thought into how you will lay out the information for the best optimum performance and for optimum capability. With these technologies, they're more forgiving. So you're able to actually take in that data feed from that weather system, from that satellite sensor, and without forethought. And then once you have it within your environment, start to process it with MapReduce technologies and techniques to discern what's going on in your environment.
So if you want to get more information, you can go to oracle.com. You can have all kinds of webinars. It's an interesting new technology to learn about to see if it will solve the problem for your agency. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest, Peter Doolin, Group Vice President and Chief Technologist, Oracle Public Sector. Thank you, Peter.
Thank you very much.
Been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.